Welcome into the Thunder basketball universe. We are back in Oklahoma City. The Thunder has completely put a nice bow on round number one of this Western Conference playoffs. And Nicholas, what a great time in New Orleans, I just have to say. So as I mentioned on the last podcast, this is my first time going through real in-person playoffs, not counting the 2019-20 season. And I was very curious to see a road playoff crowd. And New Orleans certainly brought it.
Yeah.
But you know what really caught my attention, Nick?
The sheer number of Thunder fans that were in the building.
Yeah. At one point, the OKC chants drowned everything else out in the arena. So shout out to all the dogs that traveled to New Orleans, because you really helped shift the atmosphere in the Thunder's favor.
Yeah, things felt pretty familiar pretty much this whole time we were gone. We heard the barking in the arena. We heard the barking when we got back home last night at 1:30 in the morning or whatever it was. So many fans showed up at the airport. That was awesome. And I just, having experienced a lot of these moments before Paris, to see our guys, see these players, get to experience some of these great Thunder traditions, these great traditions here in Oklahoma City that have sort of been bestowed upon the players in years past. This is really special to see these guys going through it, most of them for the first time.
And creating their own traditions, making their own history. I mean, the group interviews, we all love to see those. And then the Thunder, after defeating the New Orleans Pelicans in game number four, became the youngest team in NBA history to win a playoff series. And Nick, the word that keeps coming to mind that Coach Dagnall says all the time, that the players say all the time, is that we want to be an uncommon team. And because of that mentality, well, they're yielding some pretty uncommon results.
And being uncommon starts with the people that they have inside the build. I mean, wanting to be that is one thing. It's another to just sort of innately have these gifts and these this maturity that this team has. And once again, we saw on the road this team go into hostile territory. And even when things weren't going their way, they dug in there. They trusted each other. They trusted the game plan. And they executed with great poise in moments that they absolutely had to have crucial buckets. The Thunder got down in the beginning stages of the fourth quarter. And we'll get into all of the games there, game three and game four. But ultimately what happened is OKC did what they had to do from a scrap perspective. Yeah. They trusted the shots that they got, and they ended up coming away with a 4-0 series victory.
There were so many awesome moments between these two games in New Orleans. A really fun series, a really strong four wins for the Thunder, says a lot about this group. So we have a couple of stats from this past week that we want to share with you, stats that caught our eye. Nick, I'm going to go first.
Okay,
This is new, but I'm going first here. The stat is, it's three stats, 25-5.
That sounds like elite production filling up the stat sheet.
That's exactly what it is. I should have put 25-5 in parentheses times three.
Yeah.
That should have been like the actual stat of the week, because this was
60-15 and 15.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. go back to our algebra days.
Yeah.
But this was the stat line that we saw from three different Thunder players in game three. And I remember you and I were sitting right next to each other in New Orleans. I remember looking over at the stat sheet and just kind of like tapping you and being like, is that normal?
Yeah.
Is that, because it was
for a playoff game?
Game, it was Shea, it was Josh, and it was Chet. All of those guys, at one point I tapped you and I was like, they have 10-5-5. This is crazy. And then I look down a quarter later and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 25-5. So in that game, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, he had 24 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists. It was J-Dub. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Josh Giddey, 21-8-6. And that is just the second time in OKC history that three players have had at least 25-5 in a single game.
Yeah, incredible balance that this Thunder team is able to create. And that was the name of the series on the offensive end, because this New Orleans team came in, even without Zion Williamson, as one of the very best defensive teams in the playoffs. They have the range, they have the size, they have the physicality really at all spots across their five-man units to really bother teams defensively. When you think about Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, Valanciunas and Nance, and what they're able to do. Ingram is extremely long as well. And so what the Thunder did is, instead of kind of jamming their head into the wall against that defense. They just tried to spread the ball around. They just tried to execute. Shea got out of double teams. J-Dub got out of double teams. Chet tried to flow through pick and pops and all sorts of things. And ultimately, what we found is that the Thunder was able to spray to enough guys, get enough different players involved to come away with really balanced attacks.
The balance is the perfect word to use, because not only was it balanced in terms of three guys scoring 20 points, it was balanced in terms of each of those guys had at least five assists as well to go along with that. Those guys were a perfect part of that action, moving the ball around, getting it out in transition super quick. Josh Giddey, a great catalyst for when he gets those rebounds, getting out on the break and kind of initiating that transition offense. And the Thunder, they learned throughout the series that when they're playing with pace, that is going to be a massive key against a team like New Orleans with all of the length and all of the size they have on the perimeter. So that ball movement, the player movement, the cutting, all of that was working so, so cohesively. And it really showed up in game three with this insanely rare stat. Shout out to our guy, Chris Josephson, for going and doing the digging on this, because I couldn't have found that myself.
Speaking of that, we just had our last Bally Sports Oklahoma broadcast of the season. And so I think this is a nice opportunity for us to say a massive thank you to all of you that tuned into those. Yeah. Big shout out to Chris Fisher and Michael Cage. Of course, Matt Pinto, who stepped in for Chris while he was out on paternity leave.
Royce Young,
of course. And then all the guys behind the scenes too. Our director, Eric Date, our producer, Steve Melton, Chris Josephson, Kyle Skinner, all the people here at our home building that work on those shows. We couldn't even get on the air without all of those people, let alone do a good job and bring the game to you all. So just wanted to, as you shouted out Chris Josephson, wanted to point that out.
Yeah, a lot of people work to make us look good up here. Yeah, we couldn't do this ourselves. All right, Nick, what is your stat of the week?
All right, so you went offense, I'm going defense.
Okay.
And my stat is 19 of 55. And that's 34.5%. And that is...
It sounds like a cumulative stat for the series.
That's correct.
By one player?
Correct.
Is it... No, it's not Lou.
No. Well, Lou's involved.
Lou was involved. Oh, yeah.
19
Brandon,
of 55.
Brandon Ingram from the field.
Yes. This is what Brandon Ingram, who is a marvelous player, shot from the field in this series. And you know, we don't often call out some of these like individual matchups because it's a five-man unit defensively, and there's so much help that's involved. But in this series, what the Thunder's defensive strategy really called for to be able to deal with all of the different threats that New Orleans had on the floor was really for Lou Dort to be in the jersey of Brandon Ingram this entire series. And what we saw from Lou was what we've seen from him here locally for the last 5+ years, which is a guy that moves his feet. He's in the right position. Yeah. He refuses to get screened, and he gets guys seeing ghosts. Yeah. And there was a sequence last night in game four where Ingram had the ball on the block, maybe only about 10 feet away from the rim. And he pump fake. Lou had his hands down by his sides the whole time. But what Lou had done throughout the course of that series caused Ingram to not even take a shot there. He had a wide open bank shot right there for him. Instead, he kicked the ball across court into the corner. And I thought it was so indicative of the way that Lou was able to hold Ingram to just a really inefficient series. And that in turn really bogged down New Orleans offense.
I'm going to use a Michael Cage-ism that I think is appropriate for the way Lou Dort defended Brandon Ingram. Yeah. And he was draped all over him like a cheap suit. Like truly, it felt like it was just so difficult for Brandon Ingram to get a clean look. And yeah, he knocked down some shots. Lou had to take a couple of punches in terms of, you know, B.I. just doing B.I. things. But it was never consistent. It was never to a point where Brandon Ingram became a factor, really, for the Pelicans, which was massive for the Thunder. Another thing about Lou Dort, yes, this is not new. Let's be very clear. Yeah. Let's be very, very clear. When Lou Dort came to the Thunder as a G League player, one of his very first games against Minnesota, the thing that earned him a roster spot with this organization was because he was diving all over the floor for loose balls. He helped the Thunder in that game against Minnesota to go into overtime and win the game. That was a massive, massive stretch for Lou. And he's done that every single game in a Thunder uniform. And so this is no different. What stands out to me, though, is that he always has the assignment of defending the best player on the floor. Bar none, it's no question. Lou, you've got top line of the scouting report. In game three, One thing that really stuck out to me, and it showed how much of a motor Lou has, is he's defending BI. This is game three of defending Brandon Ingram. That's a lot of work. That is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth quarter, there's a loose ball. There's a scramble on the floor. It's like right in front of the Thunder bench. And out of nowhere, Lou just kind of like head first dives onto the ball. Like, that is my basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know where Brandon Ingram, no, it was Larry Nance.
It was Larry Nance. He was on the floor.
And so Brandon Ingram wasn't even anywhere in sight. Lou said, loose ball, that's mine. Gets it, leads to a Josh Giddey run out layup. And for a guy who spends so much energy defending the best player every single night at a high level, to have that much left in the tank, to dive on the floor for a loose ball, that just speaks to the competitive monster that Lou Dort is. That is a quote directly from Mark Dagnall.
Yeah, and I think to your point, so perfectly put, is that Lou still, all these years later, is still the guy that's first to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He's still the guy that gets that loose ball. He had a massive rebound late defensively that just, he comes flying in from nowhere, and it just, okay, this possession that New Orleans thought that they were going to potentially extend is evaporated. It's gone. And I'm going to use another Mark Dagnall quote, which is the word sophisticated. He uses, he likes to say that people are sophisticated competitors. That's the difference between Lou Dort in 2019-20 season when he first came to the Thunder to now, is he still has that same motor, but the sophistication of his competition on the defensive end is at a different level. So he can marry what he does in terms of those hustle plays with this tactical approach to how he's going to deal with Brandon Ingram, the mental warfare that goes in before these series begins, in between the games, during the games, to make sure that he can really try as much as possible to tamp down some of the very best scorers in the entire world.
I want to add on this a little bit more, because you and I have seen Lou from the very, very beginning of his career, the undrafted rookie out of Arizona State. And even then, you remember in the bubble against James Harden, Lou Dort was again an elite defender even then.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal even then. And to watch him continue to grow, continue to even get better, more physical, move his feet more, more intelligent, watching film, keeping his hands out of the cookie jar, fighting over screens. Yeah. Like, we're seeing all of these pieces come together for Lou, because he continues to get these massive reps every single night, defending guys like Damian Lillard, Jamal Murray, I mean, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, you name it, Luka Doncic.
Yep.
These are his assignments every single night for the past 5 years. So what we're seeing in this series, what we saw in this series for Lou against Brandon Ingram, is a real nice culmination of his effort and his growth and his development over the course of 5 years. So he can just completely erase Brandon Ingram from an equation.
And this was part of the Thunder's five-man defensive effort that throughout the four games of the series was absolutely stifling.
Yeah. I mean,
the Pelicans never scored more than 92 points in any game this series. Yep. In both games back in New Orleans, where you'd assume that the Pelicans, you know, would be able to get more shot making from their role players and they'd be able to find a little bit more juice on that. And the Thunder held them below 90 points in both of those games. So, it wasn't just Lou involved. Who else did you feel like was really kind of critical to this series win on the defensive end?
To your point, everybody.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is you don't hold a New Orleans Pelicans team to 92, 92, 85, and 89, and an average of 89 points per game without the effort of everybody out there on the floor. Yeah. Lou, massive point of attack defender, huge, huge effort. But in order to have a good point of attack defender, you need somebody behind you that's going to be able to get in the help side, make sure they're calling out coverages, things like that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, massive in help side defense.
Yep.
I believe it was game three that he had four steals in that game.
And one of them was that great steal on the entry pass that we've seen this from him all season long, not just the kind of coming over from the help side and being that free safety, but just being so pesky anytime somebody tries to post him up.
Excellent, excellent point. And his ability to just be intelligent, be really active in those passing lanes, massive for the Thunder. Jalen Williams, another incredible point of attack defender, but who was, he was like picking the pocket of guys, like causing some disruption on the ball, but his efforts in the passing lanes as well, also skying up, blocking some shots here and there. Speaking of blocking shots, Chet Holmgren at the rim, just a defensive monster. And game three, four blocks. I'm pretty sure one of those blocks got erased. I think they took a block away from him. He might have had five in that game. But, like, you know, it's like one of those blocks where it's like kind of could have been a rebound, could have been a block situation. But, yeah, Chet Holmgren, massive. And then another guy that Coach Dagnall gave a lot of credit for, Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
Incredible big defensive time. Effort. And the word that Coach Dagnall used to describe Josh's defense was adaptive.
Yep.
That's because throughout this series, Josh had two assignments. For the first two games, I believe he was on Trey Murphy. Mm-hmm. And then the last two games, he was on Herb Jones. Two very different covers. Obviously, Trey Murphy, you've got to get a hand up. You have got to get out there, cover. I mean, that is a shooter, shooter, shooter. But then you've got Herb Jones, who's a bigger wing and can do a little bit more. He can shoot, certainly. Yeah. But
41% three-point shooter.
Exactly. Yeah. Certainly a threat from behind the line. But you got to look out for a little bit more with Herb Jones. And Josh was really, really strong defensively throughout this entire series.
And, I mean, held up for 25 to 30 minutes each night in a series where you hold this team to 89 points. I mean, Josh talks quite frequently, sort of understanding like, hey, I know that I don't have a top line assignment every night, but I have to be perfect in my role as a defender. And we continue to just see his scrap, his tenacity. He moved his feet really well in this series. Those kind of choppy steps that you need on closeouts to get out there, get a stick hand up, all of that stuff really good from Josh in this series. And then speaking of footwork, probably the coolest moment of game four on the defensive side, at least, was his, as Chet Holmgren put it on Twitter, his toe-tapping Michael Jackson style on the baseline to save a ball inbounds defensively.
A little fancy footwork, a little dance move there from Josh, and great awareness. I mean, this goes to show a guy who is very familiar with getting the ball inbounds and making sure that it's legal. The ball was out of bounds and he had a chance to save it. It was right there teetering on the edge, but he just kind of like tapped his toes in bounds at the same time, right in front of the baseline. And before he caught the ball, big heads up play, great hustle play by Josh Giddey in that moment. And
he had just blocked Herb Jones right before that. That's why the ball was loose to begin with. So, I mean, those types of plays where a guy makes a block and saves it in bounds acrobatically, I mean, those are the types of plays that we see from Shea and from Lou and from J-Dub and from the best defenders in the league. And, you know, when these lights have been on, Josh Giddey has really delivered.
We also have to talk about the second unit as well, because they also contributed massively to the defensive effort. Jalen Williams, Jay Will, absolute monster, just super physical, great body just to go up against Valanciunas and just kind of wear him out a little bit. Cason Wallace in game three, this was a really, really cool storyline just to kind of track throughout the game. So J-Dub went out in the very first possession of game three, got hit in the eye. Brandon Ingram kind of scratched him in the face a little bit. And J-Dub left like 33 seconds into the game. The guy that checked in for J-Dub, Cason Wallace, and the next 9-minute stretch, which is very out of rotation for Cason Wallace, 9 minutes straight, and Cason just did his thing. He was defending at a high level. He made some big-time shots as well, and the Thunder was just perfectly afloat. Nothing changed at all. No dips, no valleys, no lulls, nothing. Massive, massive minutes from Cason in that moment.
I got to talk to Cason before game four about that, and he said, you know, I started 13 games this year, and so it wasn't really new for me. And I think such a great indication of just the different ways that Mark Daigneault and the coaching staff and the front office have taught these players to be adaptive, not just this season, but over the last few seasons. That's been a muscle that they feel like they can work out and then flex when they need to. And that adaptability, well, you never know when you're going to need it. And that's the point of working it out and having it ready. Yeah. And when the moment happened in game three, where all of a sudden you're missing one of your top line players, two-way guys, for you to be able to insert a rookie into that situation and not only have there be no drop-off, but he immediately makes an impact with a corner three. He hits a nice little runner in the lane and probably one of the best plays that you'll see from a rookie in the playoffs. He, at 6'3", is a screener, sets the screen, rolls into the middle of the zone, catches, hits Chet Holmgren on a bounce pass for a dunk as he flies in off the baseline. That type of play and that feel is so rare and uncommon for a rookie 19-year-old to have, and yet there he was delivering.
It goes to show kind of a massive through line for the Thunder throughout this entire year, which has been adaptability.
Yeah.
And this is something that showed up massively in this playoff series against the Pelicans, because the way OKC was playing, it put New Orleans on their heels a lot. And so they had to find different ways to just like, whoa, okay, how do we slow down this team?
Yeah.
We have to throw different looks at them just to kind of give ourselves a break, kind of give ourselves a crack at it. And so the Pelicans threw a lot of different looks at the Thunder. They threw a zone. They threw man. They threw different guys on different players, different lineup rotations. And they would do zone for half the possession. And then once the ball got to the high post, they'd switch to man. Like we saw a lot of different coverages from the Pelicans. But one thing that remained consistent for the Thunder, even keeled, poise, composure, never rattled at any point. Especially, I believe it was, game one and game four kind of had a similar tone to them.
Yep.
Low scoring, defensive battles, offense, not the easiest thing to come by throughout all 48 minutes. But the steadiness, the even keeled composure from the Thunder, one of the youngest teams in the NBA, was massively impressive and goes to show that that's something that they worked on all season long to prepare for these sort of moments.
And the result was a 15-2 run exactly when the Thunder needed it in that fourth quarter. Got the stops on one end, and finally the lid came off the basket on the other end, and OKC got a wonderful flurry of three-pointers.
Yeah, and the other thing that I really wanted to talk about here is the depth, and we hinted at it a little bit. But the Thunder played 11 guys in game four against the Pelicans, a very close game for the majority of this game. And it's something that Coach Dagnall talks about all the time, which is we trust all of our guys.
Yeah.
And everybody's ready. Everybody is fully capable. And the Thunder showed that in all of these games in this series.
Well, and there's an intentionality behind it, too. You know, if you trust all these guys, we'll give them an opportunity, because you don't know what you might need down the line. Not only in this series, but, you know, if you advance past that, you know, you just have to continue to keep the group engaged.
Yeah.
And Mark Daigneault has really had great foresight on that in the 82-game schedule and throughout the playoffs as well. You know, of course, some of the key guys, they might play more minutes when it comes to playoff time. But in general, there's a feeling of, you know, everybody's been involved and engaged to this point, and it's been successful. You won 57 games.
Yeah.
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's what Mark Daigneault showed. And just like what we discussed about Cason Wallace needing to be able to step in and play those types of minutes in an unexpected situation, you got to think about Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins and Kenrich Williams and Jay Will and Gordon Hayward. And, you know, even, you know, he kind of popped in like Lindy Waters some here too. Like guys that you are going to need potentially if somebody goes down, if somebody, you know, twists an ankle and needs to miss a game. Well, you can't have somebody that hasn't even sniffed the floor in a month out there. And so that's why the Thunder has really been intentional about doing this.
And it's really cool to see all of the things that the Thunder's been talking about, working on, all 82 games of the regular season showing up and really benefiting this group right now. Things like the 0-0 mentality, massive in a playoff series to be able to get yourself back to zero after winning three games against the New Orleans Pelicans. That is a sign of massive maturity from this Thunder team. And it's so impressive to see play out.
I just love to see again how they closed game one and how they closed game four were so poetic, because game one, everything was tense. It was tight here in this building.
Yeah.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was the one who, you know, MVP caliber player. He delivers, hits a massive and one, hits another big bucket, 5 points to help close out the game. In game four, it was a different player. It was not just Shai, you know, doing his thing late. Josh Giddey hits three massive threes. J-Dub hits another big three. Yeah. And the team makes the plays kind of collectively as a whole. It's like you kind of got the whole experience in this four-game series of what the Thunder's been about all year, is that they can do it and they can win in a lot of different ways.
Truly learning through every single experience. And now the youngest team right now is gaining more and more experience with each and every playoff game, which is really cool to see as well. One guy we haven't talked about who deserves his flowers, Mark Daigneault.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned in our last podcast, Mark Daigneault was named National Basketball Coaches Association Coach of the Year. That's voted on by his peers. But this past week, Mark was also named NBA Coach of the Year, voted on by media members. And I don't think it was very close. I don't think it was a very close race
at
all.
Pretty much a landslide, yeah.
Pretty much a landslide and very, very much deserving for Coach Daigneault. I know he does not love all of this attention that he's getting. He made that very clear in his press conferences. This is a little uncomfortable from him, but still very much deserved for Coach Daigneault and the work that he's done this year.
And I think he expressed to us a sentiment that a lot of people within the organization feel when there's maybe like individual attention called out. I mean, it's why we see the guys do everything together is because they recognize all of the things that go into making this ship move fast and in the right direction, you know? And Mark Daigneault realizes like, hey, I've been given opportunities by Mr. Bennett, by Sam Presti, by the players, you know, to you know, let me be in front of them every day.
Yeah.
Given those opportunities before maybe he even was ready for them or deserved them. And there's a lot of people who are extremely talented who could have been in this position that Mark is in and succeeded to a similar degree that he has.
Yeah.
What makes Mark so great is the humility and his ability to put all of these things in their proper context. Of course, he's extremely honored by winning the NBA's Coach of the Year Award and the National Basketball Coaches Association Award. And it's been a joy for him to share all of that with his wife and his kids and his family and his friends. But he just relentlessly went back to the character of the players that he gets to coach every day and the pure like operation that is the Thunder basketball organization to just get everything in line and in order to make his job really focused and streamlined.
Right. He pointed out, I believe it was that shoot around, like there's someone backing in the bus right now and loading up all of our equipment right now for these guys to get back to the hotel and just focus on resting and getting ready for the game. So a lot goes into having a streamlined organization, a streamlined team, and a highly functioning team like the Thunder. And Coach Daigneault gets a lot of credit for that, but a lot goes into that.
Yeah. And just one more organizational note. This is now actually, now three consecutive Thunder coaches who have been given a Coach of the Year award. So Scott Brooks, Billy Donovan, and Mark Daigneault all received either the NBA Coaches Association Coach of the Year award or the NBA's Coach of the Year award.
Just really, really cool through line for this organization and says a lot about the people that this group chooses to bring into this building. I mean, it was really cool also post-game after game four. Mark walks into the press conference, and in my head, I'm like, "Oh, I mean, maybe he just wanted to shower before he
touched."
It looks a little different. Hair was really wet. I think he changed clothes, maybe. And we learned that the players just completely dunked him as soon as he walked into the locker room.
Massive water shower.
J-Dub and Shea saying, it was water. It should have been Gatorade. We should have thought ahead and used Gatorade. But it was cold water. That much we do know.
I'm sure Mark was happy that it was water, given that he was going to have to go get on a 2-hour flight after that. I'm sure he didn't want all that sticky Gatorade all over him.
Not great. But very, very much deserved for Coach Daigneault. And just a really fun series, impressive series, business-like approach by OKC. If you're asking what's next, well, we're asking the same thing.
Same. We're hanging right out here waiting with you. Just like you.
We're chilling. Yeah. Now we wait. All we do know is that the Thunder has advanced to the Western Conference semifinals and we'll have home court advantage. Massive. Very, very cool. So be sure to stay locked. OKCThunder.com, at OKCThunder on all social channels. If you got the Thunder app, download that. Make sure you got that downloaded and check into that as well to keep up to date on the date and the time of game one of the Western Conference semis. Should be really fun.
Yeah, and we know that the opponent will either be the Dallas Mavericks or the LA Clippers. Yep. Those two teams in the middle of a very heated battle in their first round series is tied 2-2 right now. So should be fascinating to watch that one unfold. Great for this Thunder team to be able to sit back, get some rest, recover from what was a very physical series with New Orleans. And then just kind of like as it headed into the first round, get a chance to sort of absorb by osmosis what's going on and then get into that, you know, kind of every other day rhythm of playing a series once it finally comes.
Yeah, the rest is going to be really, really great for the Thunder and they will be ready to rock and roll whenever game one rolls around here in Oklahoma City. Let me tell you something right now. I am so excited to have Paycom Center rocking like we saw it in round one. Oh my gosh. Let's run it back.
Let's do it.
Let's run it back. All right. That wraps us up here on the Thunder Basketball Universe podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much to our producer, Matt Bishop. And until next time, Thunder up and catch you later.